Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
B-Pod Studios.
Coming up next at 10, sports talk while you're on the clock. Zolak and Bertrand. Right now, it's Toucher and Rich on Boston's Home for Sport. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We lose Rich?
Yep.
All right, we got him?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. Okay. It's technical fun.
Yep. I don't. One thing I'll say, and we got to get to Danny Ainge, is that I don't complain about when someone, or myself included, is at home and not getting broadcasted because I realize these are extreme circumstances. I have every right to complain when the radio station's off air. That's not supposed to happen. That's not good for anybody involved with this station at all.
Who wants jobs?
Danny Ainge is the president of basketball operations. The other shows bitch about the feed and whatever. I mean, we don't live in a perfect world. The station should be on the air. That's all. Danny Ainge is the president of basketball operations. That'd be like the Celtics not showing up. Like showing up to the Garden and being locked. Is really what it would be.
I bet that's happened at Hellenic College a few times.
Of course it is. Hellenic College is the biggest dump.
Snaves keeps getting in the way at the end.
So yeah. Anyway, Danny Ainge joins the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Danny, so my son, like a couple summers ago, was going to this basketball camp, and he would come out like drenched in sweat, like, and he's like, "There's no air conditioning," and I'm like, "Oh, that's funny." So I walked in one day, and I'm like, "This place is a total dump." And it turns out that's where you practiced when you were a professional basketball player in the National Basketball Association.
Excuse me. Hellenic was terrible. I couldn't believe it. After coming from college and going there, it was a big disappointment of our practice facility. We had this stage with a racquetball court in the back of the stage.
Yeah.
Yep. But it was really bad. I mean, just old-fashioned lockers, cement floors in the showers, and it was pretty bad.
Yeah, I thought it was dumpy.
You still were of the era when guys were smoking too. So you got all that trapped in there in that gym. So that couldn't have been
an improvement. The smoke's an improvement.
I'm not that old. No one was smoking in my era. That was the era before.
I'll tell you, is that if...
By the way, I got a bone to pick with you guys, because yesterday I was listening to your show on my way into work, and you were talking about Taysom Hill, okay? And you were talking about Taysom Hill has, you know, went to BYU, and he has five kids.
Yes, that was me, yeah.
Yeah, Taysom has one kid. His name is Bo, and... That was their first child.
I was right.
All right. First of all, Danny, you know that, which is creepy BYU stuff that you know that. I mean, the alumni are way too close. the alumni are way too close. If you played sports at BYU, you're immediately like in Danny's Rolodex.
He was a great player at BYU. He wasn't just a player at BYU.
He's an NFL quarterback. I realize the man's an incredible athlete. Taysom Hill's a great athlete. Okay, first of all, Taysom Hill's 30, and so, Danny, you'd have to assume he had more than one kid. Honestly, BYU quarterback...
I don't know. No, I don't. I mean, Steve Young didn't get married until he was like 37.
Yeah, but Steve Young had a quarterback. I don't know. Steve Young had his own stuff going on.
Well, you're a BYU athlete. How many kids do you have?
I have six.
Yeah, okay. See, okay. All right.
Now
so,
we're talking.
Danny, I mean, I'm not out of my mind. All right, let me explain why I thought Taysom Hill had five kids, because there, I Googled Taysom Hill children, and then there were photos, and it was him on a couch with him and his wife, a baby, and four other kids. And there was a bunch of photos. Are you sure he only has one kid? Did he adopt a bunch of kids?
It's probably like, isn't it? It's like a charity thing.
But no. It wasn't a charity. What? Let's watch TV with Taysom Hill? I mean, there's a million photos with him with like five kids. I don't know. What am I supposed to do?
He has nieces and nephews, I'm sure, but he has one child.
All right, whatever. It's not out of the realm of believability. It's easier to believe he has five than one. Let's put it that way.
Okay, I'll give you that, but you got to get the facts, right? You're part of the media. You got to, like, say the truth.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
I just love that Danny was listening to our show yesterday, and while I'm saying that, I'm wondering if he heard our bowel movement seminar segment that we did.
I did not hear that part, but I have one more question before you ask me questions.
Sure.
The question is, why can't we, as New Englanders, just appreciate what a great era we've had with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, and why does there and nine Super Bowls and six Super Bowl rings, and like not just enjoy that, and instead of have a competition between Belichick and Brady and who's more important?
Well,
because
as Belichick,
radio.
that is so weird to me. That's like, well, who's more important, Red Auerbach or Bill Russell? They both played a big role.
But Danny, Bill Belichick's girlfriend, put something out kind of dismissing Brady's play in the last game. So I do believe that it's certainly from Bill Belichick's end that he's watching very closely to what Tom Brady's doing. And I would imagine if it was me, I can tell you this, if it was me, I would certainly be wanting him to fail. It reflects better on me. But that's me as a human. Perhaps I'm in the minority there. That's how I would look at it.
Right, but okay, I understand how, like, people involved, like, listen, I mean, Kobe and Shaq could have won six or seven championships, but they couldn't get along. And,
right.
You know, like, we even, like, live in a world with Jaylen and Jason Brown, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, and, you know, everybody's always talking about who's better, he's getting better now, like, he's maybe better than Jason, and, like, what difference does it make? Like, well, you need them both, you need them all.
But well, ultimately
created,
not.
This competition, this internal competition is sometimes created by the outside world, not so much by their own existence. And, you know, everybody is talking about it, so maybe there's sensitivities that develop in that.
Yeah, because Danny, I was...
Alpha dog.
I had a point with those two, which I thought if you... And I didn't say this existed, I was just thinking it would if it was me again. Is that... You look at it, and it's ultimately a good thing, obviously, is that Jaylen Brown is you know, developing every year, and he's evolving as a player, and he's becoming an all-star level player. You pontificate, you just talk off the top of your head, doing 20 hours of radio, live radio a week. And I said, if you're Jaylen Brown, you have Jason Tatum is kind of been willed into the all-star role, in that before the season, the odds of him winning an MVP are, you know, he's up there with the greats and this and that. And so if it comes down to it and all things are equal, it seems like that Tatum would be the all-star over Brown. And if I'm Brown, I resent Jason Tatum for that, but does that, it would kind of bug me. Listen, I'm putting up the same numbers as this guy, and like he's kind of been ordained as this all-star, and I'm, you know, that's unfair to me in a way.
No, I understand all of that. I'm just saying that Bill Belichick is a first, second, he's done coaching. He's a Hall of Fame one of the greatest coaches of all time, and Tom Brady's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, and like we had them both, and we have nine Super Bowl appearances without either one of them.
It's because we don't want to talk about Cam Newton. That's why. It's because, to be quite honest,
that's
there's
a good point. Yeah.
Well, I don't think we talk about that much. No, we don't talk about it that much. It's boring. In fact, if you were listening right before you came on, Rich was saying there was something about
an article that someone was written about whether Rodgers was actually better than Tom Brady.
And I'm like, and then
dismissing it.
And to that, if Dan, if you listen to the show at all, the amount of times that we say "who cares" to things is really mind boggling. To that, I did say, "Who cares?" These are all stupid crap. Yeah, I mean, a lot of the stuff is nonsense, and people did enjoy the championships. There's no question about it. But when you have an all time great that switches teams late in his career and is having success, it certainly is an interesting storyline. There's no question.
It's fun. It's great. Yeah. Like I can't wait to watch that game this week. That'll be awesome.
Man,
what a great game.
Bet the under, baby. That's where daddy's got his money. Don't worry about it.
Well, speaking of, you were talking about Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. What is the status on Jason Tatum? Yesterday it sounded like we've got some good news ahead of us. Is that right?
Yeah, Jason, he looks good. I'm on my way in to watch him work out right now and talk to him and see how he's doing. But, yeah, he seems in a good place. And, I don't know when he's coming back, but I'm guessing within the next few games he'll be back playing, being himself.
Is that his decision? I mean, does he have to be cleared, or has he been cleared and now it's just does he feel comfortable?
Yeah, I think that both of those things, and just, with being out for a couple of weeks and not being able to do anything while he had COVID, it's just tough. We're just being cautious and careful with Jason. It's a conversation that he has with our medical staff and with our trainers, and they'll make that determination.
All right, so yesterday was a weird game, and Marcus Smart, God love him, showed up at the post-game press conference still wearing his uniform with a box score in his hand just to try to prove a point about we were saying it's a game that Tommy Heinsohn would have lost his
mind. We needed him on the broadcast last night, Danny.
Last night was the kind of night where you really miss Tommy, where it was just the foul discrepancy was so tilted on one side. But watching the game, just me watching it, it seemed like there weren't any egregious calls in favor of the Sixers. It just kind of seemed that, maybe the team's getting sloppy on defense and hasn't been disciplined enough to know how to not commit as many fouls. What do you see when you saw, like, last night? Do you think the team has a slight problem not committing these amount of fouls? Because it's become somewhat of a trend.
Yeah, I think that we're not where we need to be defensively. And I think we'll get better defensively. But yeah, I think our defense was not as good as it needs to be last night.
Do they have a fouling problem?
Too much fouling. Absolutely.
Okay. Now, when you watch a game like that and it's so tilted, I mean, obviously as a player, it's got to piss you off. But did you think that last night there was some sort of shenanigans, or do you believe that was mostly on the Celtics?
It was Rangel.
I mean, I don't think there's shenanigans, but I do think there was a couple. I mean, like, the one that Kimba got fouled on was definitely a three-point shooting foul. Like, that is a no-brainer. Like, that was not a good call, but that happens. Bad calls happen. I thought Marcus felt like he got frustrated because, Joel Embiid does the kind of the James Harden move where you stick your arms out and you draw contact and you really didn't do anything as a defender except, your arm was in the way. And, we're always trying to teach guys to, hide your arm so they can't seek it. But I don't like the look of that. I don't like what that does. I think it's an ugly look for the game. I'm not blaming those players that are good at it. Players with long arms stick their arms out and get fouls. And they're just seeking fouls. They're not trying to make a shot. And Marcus, I think, felt like he got bumped on a couple drives to the hoop. He thought he should have had a couple and ones there that he got hit and there was contact, and he didn't get those. And so I think it was a frustrating defensive game for us, but yeah, we have to do a better job of not fouling.
It seems, Danny, watching Marcus and Joel Embiid go back and forth, there's just something more between those two. I remember a game in Philadelphia a couple of years ago where Marcus got ejected for shoving Embiid to the floor because Embiid just crawled under his skin, and he talks a lot just like Marcus does sometimes. Do you think there's anything more between those two guys?
I don't. I think that Marcus respects Joel Embiid as a competitor and as a player, and but Marcus, finds himself boxing him out, and there was one possession where he was fronting the post last night, and they were going at it a little bit, and Marcus tries to get under your skin as a defensive player. I wish everybody played defense with that kind of intensity that Marcus does, and we'd be in business.
Well, there was a little bit of a shock over the last couple of days, at least for me. I didn't expect Kemba to come back as strong-looking as he did, especially last night. I mean, that was great. It's got to be killing him to have this minutes restriction. Obviously, it's for the best. But when watching him play, what's your impression of his first two games back?
Well, I mean, over the last few weeks, I have felt really, really good about what I've seen in Kemba. I had some concerns going in. I didn't know how he would respond to this time off and this strength training program that he's been on exclusively. It's so much – he's put so much time in and worked really hard and has really progressed in his numbers and his strength. And so I'm really happy for him and for us that, he's back. Like, he's got his burst back. He's a special player. He's not back at this very moment, but what I think he can be as time goes on, and he just gets his feel back and his touch back. But I'm excited that Kemba's back.
When do you see them ramping up his minutes?
I think we'll do it slowly with him. We want to make sure that we have him for the long haul, and we're just trying to limit the risk.
All right, Danny, I don't mean to drastically change topics, but there was a great article that came out recently. I think Celtics Blog wrote it, CelticsBlog.com, and it was about what it's like to be on the other side of a Danny Ainge deal. And obviously, all the people that they spoke to, either on the record or off the record, had the utmost respect for you. They couldn't say anything bad other than there's a line in it that said, while most were complimentary of Ainge, it said, the quote that sums up Ainge is viewed with this one: "I hate talking trades with Danny because I feel like I'm going to lose on something," as one Eastern Conference general manager put it. So apparently there's an unease when the phone rings from you. They know you're obviously a good guy, but do you get that sense sometimes that people think that you're trying to fleece them for all they're worth?
I don't get that sense. I have a lot of teams that call, so there hasn't been any slowdown in the amount of calls that we get about trades, or really over time there hasn't been. I mean, look at everybody's trying to make changes to their team. We've obviously had good teams. I think we've won more playoff games over the last 13 years than any team in the league. So we have players that other teams like and they think they can get, and we have numerous conversations about trades. So I don't really know what the article is about or what people think, but we're just trying to do what we just have our own job to do to try to get a better team. And making trades is hard. It's not as easy as people think it is. People sometimes think that making trades is like playing video games. You just switch a player up and put LeBron James on the Boston Celtics in 2008 and play a video game. But making trades is a very difficult process in our league.
You see Kendrick Perkins, 9-year-old. He's all over Sports Center today.
Yeah, Drace. He's a stud.
There's stud 9-year-olds.
He's a football player and a he's a big boy who can dribble behind his back and pass. Nice. I love it. He's a point center.
You're feeding the machine.
That's the only place he can
play. Feeding the machine. Yeah, it's funny. He rips the ball out of this poor kid's hands, who's on ESPN all day now, getting the ball ripped out of his hands, and then he walks. But it's pretty funny because he's a big kid.
And he walks. He's got this strut that obviously Kendrick has taught him. So that's he's all over SportsCenter today.
How many people on the street say you got to take a look at my kid, Danny?
Yeah, that does happen periodically. I mean, I used to. I don't, not as much anymore, but I used to get a lot of film from people, and you know, high school tapes and college tapes. It's, you know, I have yet to not have really interest in any of the tapes that I've received, but it's fun to see people excited about the people that they're excited about. So
the parents are always really successful and cool. They're always really together people that have their own lives cooking on all cylinders.
Are there any of those videos?
I do sometimes want to, like, sit down with parents and say, you know, like, quit living your life through your child's athletic success, because it's going to end by the time their high school career is over.
If they can play high school. I got news for you. If your kid's going to play NBA basketball, you know. You know now.
And you've known for a long time.
Yes. Unless it's a meteor streaking across the sky, you would know physically that they're at that place right now. Baseball and some other things you might be able to screw around.
Pretty much by the time you're 9 or 10, you pretty have an inkling that...
Football or baseball, maybe.
But there's got to be a gem in that stack of videos. Like somebody who put like their kids' tape to music, like Loverboy or something.
What's the weirdest
one? Well, now you're talking about my plate spinning tape that I keep trying to get halftime shows with.
What's the weirdest one you got, Danny, out of all of them?
I don't remember. I don't remember any, you know, put to video or put to music. They're just highlight reels and mixtapes of their kids. But speaking of young proteges, like, what about Tiger? Have you guys watched that documentary?
I did. Yeah. I very much enjoyed it.
He's like 1.5 years old.
He
has a good swing.
How do you get a kid to buy into that is the thing, is that, you know, having my own children, it's almost unbelievable that you could get a kid, and obviously we all know the fallout of it, which isn't that bad, really. I mean, all things considered, Tigers have a pretty good life. But like, how you can get your kid to buy into that is amazing. Just you're going to play golf. And they're like, cool, yep. And then I want to play other sports. Nope. Okay. Like, and just hanging out with their dad. Like, I got a really good relationship with my children, I think. But they wouldn't want to. They don't listen to me like that. That's crazy. That's nuts.
It's a great story. But, man, talk about, I mean, his swing at age 2 and 3 was just really good.
Yeah, like, how did his dad know how to teach him that well, too? There's a bunch of stuff. Like, his dad, like, was good enough to teach him to play like that. Yeah, it's crazy. But I think,
Were you aware of, like, you know, because they talk about the trips that he would take and, like, you know, with Barkley and Jordan and like, were you aware, like, when obviously you were with Jordan and Barkley and those guys, that they, like, would do that? Like, they would go to Vegas and live those kind of lives?
I'm not going to comment on anybody's personal.
Well, it's out there, Danny. It's not a secret. Charles Barkley is a bit of a philanderer. I don't know if you've heard.
I'm not. Those are friends of mine. I'm not talking about them. But.
That's right. The best part of that documentary, one of them, though, Danny, is when Tiger goes.
I went to BYU, remember?
Yeah, you have six kids. We all know. No one's accusing you of anything.
You. Didn't ask about you, Danny.
Yeah, right. But, Danny, the part where Tiger goes to Jordan, he goes, well, what should I say to these girls? And he goes, that you're Tiger Woods. And he goes, oh. Yeah. Big nerd being led around by the hand. All right. Well, Danny Ainge, it's always a pleasure, sir. Enjoy watching Jason Tatum work out, and hopefully he gets back soon. We appreciate the time.
All right, guys. Have a good week.
All right. Thank you very much.
I just love it. Anytime that Danny proves that he's a P1 to the show.
Like, yeah, he listens occasionally. Yeah. He does listen occasionally.
Yeah, he does.
Jake DeBrusk is supposed to join us in just a moment. I do want to read this very quickly, and then I know we have to break. Paul F. Tompkins, if anyone was on Twitter yesterday, Paul F. Tompkins got a great tweet, and I never read these. This message is solely for any parent considering making up a profound thing that their child said and posting it on social media.
absolutely do this. And then David Cross says, my three-year-old said this very thing to me this morning. My son, my daughter was watching Kamala Harris get sworn in and said, no, they weren't. Shut up. Yeah, Zoe, come here and watch this with me. No, Dad. Okay, bye. All right, we'll be right back.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect. On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
Coming up next at 10, Sports Talk Wild. You're on the clock. Zolak and Bertrand. Right now, it's Toucher and Rich on Boston's Home for Sport. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We lose Rich. All right, we got him?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. Okay. Just technical fun.
Yep. I don't. One thing I'll say, and we got to get to Danny Ainge, is that I don't complain about when someone, or myself included, is at home and not getting broadcasted because I realize these are extreme circumstances. I have every right to complain when the radio station's off air. That's not supposed to happen. That's not good for anybody involved with this station at all who wants jobs. Danny Ainge is the president of basketball operations. The other shows bitch about the feed and whatever. I mean, we don't live in a perfect world. The station should be on the air. That's all. Danny Ainge is the president of basketball operations. That'd be like the Celtics not showing up. Like showing up to the Garden and being locked. Is really what it would be.
Hellenic College a few times.
Of course it is. Hellenic College is...
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
Roto-Rooter. Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect. On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
Coming up next at 10, Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, Zolak and Bertrand.
I like this.
Right now.
This to me is fun.
It's Toucher and Rich.
What is happening right at this moment.
On Boston's Home for Sports.
People either hating me or liking me.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
It doesn't look like Jake is going to call. Little Jake DeBrusk.
It's the TNR bump.
I have one question for him. It's just, why aren't you scoring, kid? Let's go. Let's get it together.
It's amazing, too, because, I mean, they're firing away. They're just not going in.
He's so superstitious. Remember that? He's like, yeah. Take a different route to the practice facility to change things up. I'm wondering what he's doing now, because... Puck ain't going in the net from anyone, not just him. Maybe everyone should take a different route to the practice facility.
You know,
I guess he's going to continue skating on the first line. I know in practice they had that yesterday too. So I mean, there's got to be some sort of
if they don't score there. An even strength goal, I'm out on the Bruins until this happens. We were talking about, it's funny because I asked Nick, I'm like, when we get in this this thing that we want for the station, and he's like, I don't know, it's supposed to come someday, and I'm like, it's never coming. Because, again, it's sense I have, but I have a feeling I'm right, is that people are just kind of waiting around for COVID to end. Now, there are obviously a lot of things that we can't do because of COVID, obviously. This is an email. Hey, Freddie, I wanted to call in this morning. Call in the morning on the 21st when you're talking about people being useless at work during this, but it gets me so fired up, you'd have to kick me off the air. You cannot get anyone to do anything working at home. I've never get a hold of anyone. Their status is always away. And on their instant messenger apps, I just fire out emails into the abyss of no reply. It's maddening. And numerous people have said, oh, I love this. I wish it lasted forever. What? So I asked why, and the answer was more or less a cleaned up way of saying I can sit home in my sweatpants all day, do 80% less than I did in the office, and get paid the same. Laziness infuriates me, but now it's directly affected me as I can't get people I need at work to get things done. I can't wait to go back in the office because I'm losing my mind in the house all day and all night. Families are not supposed to be together this much. That is true. But more, I can't wait to watch all those people have to go back to work and get out of their lazy ass mode they're in and actually have to actually produce and have to put in time that comes close to an 8-hour day. So it is a feeling because I just know everything's running 2 weeks behind.
I just think the examples you used of teachers and stuff, that's not fair.
Oh, well, the teachers union does not want to be back in school.
Well, I think it's because they're afraid of getting sick. As a matter of fact, I know somebody personally this week.
You know a teacher? COVID. Holy cow.
No, who got COVID this week?
You know somebody who got COVID?
A teacher that got COVID. It's happening a lot.
You know you know someone who got COVID? My Lord, you cracked the code.
But I mean, if you're going to rip on teachers for not wanting to go back to school.
I didn't rip on teachers. I say that there's some that the teachers union doesn't want to go back to school.
Because it's unsafe in their view.
All right. Fair enough. But
it's not because they're lazy. As a matter of fact, they would love things to be back to normal. I mean, it's hell to teach remotely. It sucks. You got parents leaning over the shoulders of kids, critiquing the teachers the entire time, listening in. You've got kids who, you know, just end up being these little square boxes that are black, that are turning off their cameras. So there's no kind of interaction whatsoever. I mean, it sucks, and they don't like it. And especially when they're older teachers who have no idea how to use this equipment, who are still having a hard time.
Have the ear of the teachers, I have to say. It's nice to hear.
I know a bunch of teachers.
I know you do.
It sucks for them.
Yeah, a ton. More than me. There's no question.
My wife's a teacher. Yes.
Yeah, she teaches at college. Yes, she's a college teacher. Yes, yes, I understand that.
And listen, if it sucks for a college teacher, it's got to really suck for a elementary school teacher. This is not fun. This is not something they're enjoying.
Mm-hmm. I know what I read. And I read that people that there are some people, of course, there's different people have different attitudes. There's a bunch of people that like it just fine. And teaching isn't where I was going with any of this. It's just more of a general everything's going to take about 2 weeks longer than it would normally take. And that's the thing. And I mean, everyone knows teachers. I mean, everyone knows teachers, and they're underpaid and they're overworked. But they're not back in school, and it's just everything is moving slow. I mean, it is what it is, but it's a wasted year of school. I mean, I don't think anyone would argue that.
It's not the best. No, it sucks. It's awful. I mean, you wonder just how much this is going to affect where they would have been academically, you know, as opposed to, and even the ones that, you know, like who are going to school, that's not fun. You know, you're not talking to your friends. You got to keep a mask on the entire time.
Yeah, the socialization is really bad. I mean, we can all agree that that is bad.
Yeah, it's a nightmare, and it sucks. And every single teacher that I've spoken to hates being at home doing this. They hate it.
Well,
it's a nightmare for them.
Talk to their union. Because, we pay teachers to tutor our kids. I mean, listen, I'm all for the teachers. But just... their union, and I think if you asked the teachers that you're friends with, they would also say their union doesn't always paint them in the best light. I think that if you're having these
the unions using now is because of their safety.
Talk to your friends that are teachers about the teachers union if they are lockstep in line with their thinking, and I think that you would get a surprising answer if you think they are, because if you know teachers that have this attitude, they're not lockstep with the union. The union's its own whole thing. The union is its whole entity, as what often happens when you get a union that's very powerful. It's not always up to the individual. But Jake DeBrusk is in a union. He's in the Players Union, the NHL Players Union. Jake DeBrusk joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Jake DeBrusk, hello, sir.
What's going on, guys? How are you?
We are doing well. You got to start scoring goals there, Jake DeBrusk. The team's not scoring 5-on-5 goals.
Time.
Let's get to it.
Yep,
let's get to it. It's boring. It's boring to watch.
I feel you, man. So I feel we definitely all want to get on the board here. So, you know, obviously it's our first game at home. So hopefully that brings us a little more puck luck. That's for sure. We need it.
Speaking of the pucks, I got to ask you about this because I'm not saying this is the reason that, you know, the team hasn't scored the 5-on-5 yet, but there was a recall of the pucks that you guys were using because these are the ones that have the new tracing technology they started and you know, they yanked them after several games. Were you noticing that the pucks felt different this season as opposed to before they put the tracking technology in it?
Honestly, not too much. I mean, I didn't even know that was a thing actually until I think after the second game. But no, I actually didn't feel necessarily like there was too much of a difference. It was obviously the puck was bouncing and things like that just from, I think, from us playing like obviously in the game and in the rink. But I didn't even know about that, honestly. I think it's a cool thing, but they did stop doing it, right?
Is that yeah. Something? Yeah, because yeah, you guys couldn't stop complaining. I thought it was, I'm just kidding. But I thought it was something, because Rich brought this up. I actually didn't know it until Rich mentioned it. Good on him. Is that, but to me, it would seem, I guess not, that if you screwed with a baseball, pitchers would go out of their minds, and rightly so. But it didn't matter to you. You didn't even notice it.
Well, this makes you kind of sound bad.
Let's start practicing.
I think there was definitely some times like skating with the puck where I felt that I guess like didn't necessarily slide as well. I know that some guys, that's what they were saying, but the puck didn't really slide in the ice. Like it didn't glide with you when you're going through the neutral zone, if that makes any sense. So it was kind of hard to handle like just little tweaks with it. But I guess it wasn't really that important. But yeah, pitching would be different. Pitching, I think, is a little bit different game because it's a feel for the ball, you know, pretty much with every throw, right?
So, yeah, and every...
That's a little more in tune with that, yeah. I guess.
And it's a small scuff or any added weight can, like, even like a tenth of an ounce can affect the movement. You're playing teams like the Islanders, and it's brutal to watch. The way they play, is that going to build up we talked about this before, but especially the Islanders, is this going to build up a healthy animosity between you and those guys?
I think so. I think every team, honestly, is going to have some animosity, but we kind of play a similar defensive style. So, you know, it's obviously going to be really, really tight games against that squad. You know, they've been, they're obviously very well coached and very well, you know, trained in their system. There's a reason why they're a playoff team, but you know, it definitely is a little bit frustrating, I think, for both sides because you understand there's not going to be a lot of grade A looks, and when you do get them and they don't necessarily go in, it's always I guess a little bit of a frustrating factor, but that's normal. That's pretty much normal anytime we play against the Islanders, just with how defensive both teams kind of play. You know it's going to be a greasy one or a lucky one, if that makes any sense, to kind of get the ball rolling. But we play them, I think, 6 more times this year. So there's definitely lots of hockey left to be playing against that team.
Yeah. Well, speaking of like these rivalries,
I was actually told 7.
Yeah. Oh, okay. You play them 11 more times. Yes.
That's right. Yeah. A lot. You're going to see these guys. And you know what? And the one thing that was kind of the early season storyline was, you know, how is the defense going to look without Chara there? But one thing that kind of came out of that is the look that maybe people are starting to take liberties with Tuukka Rask. Like there was the issue with Miles Wood, and I know that you guys in the second game where you played against each other against the team, it was like you guys obviously, you know, dropped the gloves, tried to do that. Do you think teams are taking liberties with Tuukka Rask right now?
No, I think actually Millsy, it was against New Jersey. Millsy, I think off the starting draw, pretty much set the tone there. He's, you know, Millsy's kind of a psycho in that way. I love him for that, but he's, he was seeing red there, but, I don't think there was anything after that, to be honest with you. It was the first game, I think, for both teams. And, you know, you never like seeing that when, you know, guys, you know, obviously driving that hard. And, you know, it's fine, I think, for the first time. You never want to see your goalie get hit, but, you know, sometimes things happen, and that's sometimes how I play too. But multiple times, obviously, we wanted to answer and, as a team, and I think Mosey did that really well. And I didn't really see anything else Liberty-wise, I guess, that makes any sense on Tuca. Through the first three games, like I said, it's only three games, and it's kind of hard to judge what the year is going to be like, but we're obviously going to be there to answer the bell for a starting goalie.
There's guys in the league who have perfected effing with a goalie. They've made it an art, right? Where they, you know, try to, because there's some guys who are so bad at it, you know, immediately they're trying to screw with the goalie. But there's a couple guys in the league that just know how to, I guess, smash into a goalie and make it look like it was completely unintentional, don't they?
I don't really know. There's definitely guys that, I guess, like you said, were, you can tell when they on purposely do it. You know, I guess that makes any sense. I didn't think he on purposely did it. That made any sense. I don't know. I think it was twice, but anytime it's more than once, I mean, it doesn't matter if you did it on purpose or not. You're kind of going to that area. So I think we definitely need an answer there. But yeah, I more so notice it when it's like in front of the net, like screens and stuff like that. Anytime you see a goalie whack a guy, he's usually doing something. So that's kind of what I always look for, I guess, if that makes any sense.
Now you're on the first line. It's time to get going.
Yeah, I agree.
Let's go.
I thought we had a pretty decent game, actually. Last week.
But you have to, and I'm sure you did, and obviously you played hard. But it's really painful to watch. Let's start. Maybe you do one of them lacrosse goals where you go behind the net and you scoop it up and dump it in like that.
Or change up your route to the garden today. You know, something, change the mojo a little.
Love that. Actually love that. I'll try to keep it. I'm more of a simple, you know, mindset right now. I don't know about lacrosse style goal, but I can try. If I get blown up though, I'm completely blaming that on you.
All right. Well, then I'll fight you.
After that, yeah, you'll fight me too.
Then we'll fight.
I think being home and playing or practicing here at the Gardens kind of switched the mojo, to be honest with you, with everybody. It's nice to be back home for sure. So we haven't played here in like 10 months, or we haven't been here in a while. So. March 7th, I don't even know when, but yeah, so it's obviously, the mojo is a little bit different. It's obviously tough not to get too frustrated and things like that, and we understand, trust me, we all want to score goals. So it's the best feeling in the world.
Yeah.
I want to tell you, you know what I mean? So I think everyone else does, you know? So
all right, good,
we're
good,
definitely
good.
Thinking about it, man.
All right, well, that's good to hear. I was worried that you weren't, but thank you so much. Jake DeBrusk.
Love that.
Everyone wins. Everyone wins when everyone's great. All right, Jake DeBrusk, thanks so much for the time, man. Good luck, and we appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, cheers, guys. Thanks, eh?
All right, there you go. There you go. Jake DeBrusk.
Yeah, they're fire them out. I mean, I can't. How many shots on net did they have last game? And it was
27.
Just,
I want to say
not enough.
Post three times. Yeah. And by the way, people are crapping on Richie. Richie, I think, is firing off more than anybody. I mean,
listen, if Richie scores 10 goals, 15 goals, it's fine. That's all he's got to do.
Right. And, yeah, it's a win.
Well, it's a shortened season, less than 15 goals. Yeah, if he scores 10 goals, it's fine. All right, so we'll be right back. Have a quick break and then say goodbye.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at bostonscores.org/Noah.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
Drive home with Felger and Mass this afternoon at 2. Right now, this is how Boston sports fans start the day. Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
All right, you get Danny Ainge and Jake DeBrusk in an hour, and you don't have much time for the stack. Is there one thing, Rich, that stands up among all others?
This kind of stood out. As sad as it was, having the giant stretch limo sitting outside of Joe Exotic's prison where he thought that Donald Trump was going to give him one of his pardons, Joe Exotic himself has apparently responded. Now he has a...
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at Boston Scores. .org/Noah.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150. Win or lose, bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.